Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 212. This is part two to Crossing Over. Today is Sunday, September 18th, 2011. Shout out to you, Storm, all the way to London. Happy belated birthday. Yesterday, hope it was good.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz. That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30 Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times, Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages. The poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
You see, very soon we fully understand what Paul meant. The first moment he receives his liberty, and we start to jump for joy, and we start to... My face hurt from smiling. Does your face ever hurt from smiling after your first day? You just go, oh, you never use those facial muscles. Yeah, I was just smiling. I can't stop smiling. You know what? It's hurting my face. I actually hurt my face. Did you ever hurt your face? Huh? Come on, I know a lot of people that never went through that torture, but did you ever go through the torture of hurting your face from joy? I was smiling. Every time somebody would see me, I'd be smiling. Father, you're always smiling. And then I got phony after I got into finding out how miserable I was. And so I would try to keep up because people said, boy, you're a smiler. So then I thought, well, now I have to smile all the time. But it wasn't a real smile. It was phony then, you know. See, I tried to hide behind my face when I was already covered for all of my sins by Jesus Christ. I tried to cover up then. Now that is a trick of the devil to get you to try to cover up. And you cover up by speaking loud and putting law on people and putting your finger in their face. It's a cover up. How many have tried the cover up method? Never tried it? Let me. Now you and a lot of folks on the radio didn't raise their hands. How many tried or are trying at this very moment the cover-up method? How many know it will be uncovered? You'll leave the door open and someone will hear you yelling at your kids. I said get in there before I murder y'all! It's time to go to church and worship God! Well, let it all hang out. Go ahead and confess what your face is really feeling and you'll get free. And you think, I've got, sin isn't the boss over me no more. And sin says, oh yeah? Oh yeah? Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so this old man is resurrected. And sin starts all over. And he starts to cry, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And so you thought your old nature was dead. Huh? You're laying there in this casket like some kind of horror movie. All of a sudden, it becomes alive. Starts peeking around, huh? Kicks open the lid and crawls out. How many have felt the old man resurrected at times?
Been locked up for a long time inside that coffin.
Huh? Not holy enough for you? No, I'm talking, God is holy. We're a little bit lower than holy, okay? We are not holy. Holy yet, although God sees us that way because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? But you see, you know from whence you come. And if you remember from whence you come, you can give all the glory to God. Did you ever try to carry around some self-made glory? It's fool's gold. Huh? But oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And he sees all his old sin galloping behind him like the Pharaoh and his host, pushing him right up to the edge of the sea. Now he's boxed in, crags on one side, Red Sea ahead, and all the old sin nature behind. Did you ever go home after you were a Christian and some terrible things had happened to you and you... Maybe you see a kung fu movie and you see your head on this guy. Yeah, 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 yeah. Did you You felt better after you got done with that mental exercise? Why? Because your flesh was satisfied. Probably hurt your hand on the icebox, but... But you thought, I'll never see those sins again. Because they were a curse on your life. And they caused you so much torment. How many know what I'm talking about here? But he sees the old master coming on strong again with a whip in his hand. But he also sees the Pharaoh and he starts to tremble. Satan is closing in and all the legions of hell seem loose, if possible, to utterly destroy his soul. Now, our sins at this time, and I have to say this because I really believe it is the truth. Our sins at this very point in connection of this message of what I'm talking about, crags on both sides, Red Sea in front, sins, of, and I'm relating to the Pharaoh now coming after, the sins behind you. I think at this time, these sins seem more formable to us than they were before that we were forgiven. They seem much more dangerous now. See, because when we were in Egypt, we never saw the Egyptians mounted on horses. We never saw their iron chariots with cutting blades on both wheels. Now those sins are armed. You used to just sort of, sins would just sort of walk along with you, with a you know, a muscle t-shirt on, and just, they were relaxed, see, and they had on their Nikes, and they would just sort of saunter around, and they were kind of buddies with your sins. But now they're after you, crags on both sides. I want to get the picture of crags on both sides, and then there's the Red Sea up ahead of you, and the Pharaoh and his men coming, which relates to the sins, and the sins are right behind you, but you've never seen those sins like that. Because when you were in the camp with them, they were just sort of sauntering along. But now they are armed. They are armed. They got knives in them. If you ever have been in any kind of warfare, you know what I'm talking about. They had knives in their teeth. They had a helmet on. Huh? Their eyes are little slits. They got on the garment. They got on the shield. And they got on the sword. And they got these chariots. And they got four horses up ahead. And they got these blades that cut. Now you can't go anyplace. Crags on both sides. The Red Sea up ahead and your sins behind. Boy, do they look terrible. I never remembered that sin of alcohol looking like that. Or lust. I've never seen it looking like that before. Oh, oh God. It's diaper time. Are you hearing this? No, they only appeared when we were in Egypt as sort of a brick foreman. Taskmasters with whips. Familiar, almost friends at times. Hi, Joe, how's it going? Our counter's up on the bricks today. We'll get some leeks and garlic, maybe a roast leg of lamb or something like that. Oh, sure, oh, how you doing? Yeah, fine, fine. Yeah, that's where our sins are. But now, my God, look at these sins. Full armor, swords drawn, knife in their teeth, and what's that they're saying? What does it say in the Bible? Rob, kill, and destroy. And that's the shout that you hear these sins coming after you saying, rob, kill, destroy, rob, kill, destroy. And there's clouds of dust forming. And so then I found myself in this predicament. See, when sin thinks it's losing its grip on you, it comes to destroy you, it comes to rob your peace, and finally kill you. And so I found myself that when I first knew the weight of sin, it was a burden. It was as a labor. It was as trouble. But when it came the second time, oh my God, when it came the second time, I asked the Lord, and I asked the Lord, Lord, help me to grow in faith and help me to grow in love. Help me to know more of your salvation. Help me to seek you more earnestly, Lord. Something's missing. And I stayed up all night. I read books on sanctification. I read books on this and that. I was trying to find a way when I already had the way. Teach me about your light. Teach me about your love. Teach me about your mercy. Teach me about your forgiveness. Teach me about your grace. I want to learn. The enemy's coming in. You know how he answered me? By letting all of my sins loose upon me. And they look more frightful than they ever had before. See, if you want to become more than a conqueror through Christ, God will have to give you more to overcome. If you're to be more than an overcomer, you've got to have more to overcome. Besides, didn't you ask for it? Do you remember yourself saying something like this? Oh God, this is so beautiful. Now make me more Christ-like. I want to grow, Lord, no matter what. Lord, let's go on to the second phase. I'm ready, willing, and able, Lord. You asked for it. But anyway, the Egyptians, my sins, seemed more frightful than ever they had before. And I thought the Egyptians in Egypt were not half so bad as the Egyptians out of Egypt. I thought the sins I knew before, even though they were a cruel taskmaster, were not half as bad or half to be dreaded as those armed and ready to kill. I mean, you leave your sins and your sins come after you and they want to rob and kill and destroy you. I call them soldier sins. Now they're armed and they're mad. They've lost you. These spirits have lost you. And they want you back. And Satan, and that's the Pharaoh, let's say, sends them out after you. Every demon to sin that you ever had, some you never even thought of. And so you new Christians that are listening to me today, it's because you receive more light. You're astonished and amazed to find out that your sins are blacker now. I mean, after you're saved, your sins seem blacker, uglier than they were when you were under conviction. That you have less hope. Now I don't have no hope. That's how you feel. And so then your condition is far worse than when the law was beating you from top to toe. And then pouring salt into the wounds of your conscience. Maybe you're thinking, you're listening on the radio, well, if I was truly forgiven, why do I feel so guilty? Why am I so tormented? And if all my transgressions have been cast into the depths of the sea, how is it I hear the armies of my sins rattling on horse hoofs coming up from behind me and their chariot wheels are full of these sins? Well, I say to all that, this is what you should have expected. Because the pangs come after that we come out of Egypt, and at times are even more painful. The Bible says, first the suffering and then the joy. Well, there is such a thing as a trial that you have to go through as a testing of your faith. Know how that is preached against, isn't it? You ready to go through that thing? See, a time of trial always comes after a new birth. And if you die daily, you've prepared yourself for another trial. Maybe the trial I'm going through right now is number 10,104. I don't know. I've lost track. It's right in there. 10,104 or 105, something like that. Give or take a few trials. But every time that you die to something, you get ready for a new trial. Oh, God, this guy's preaching this negative ministry. I don't believe it. No, this is not negativeness. This is reality, and it's not that you're playing the part of the martyr or come on, put him up type thing. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the reality of the thing is that life goes on. And live your life. See, if you live your life in God and you've given your life to God, who cares if there's a trial? Is that the issue here? Oh God, one more trial and I'm just going to fall apart. I'm going to leave the church. I'm going to go back to lethargy. I am. I'm just go back to my regular old church, and it didn't bother me, and I didn't have no trials. And of course the devil didn't bother you in there. That was his house. He likes order in his own home. You want to go back in there and sit down with all them dead folks in there? When they get up and walk out of there, dead, not alive yet. And they act out little parts? Before you got saved, didn't you act out little parts? Didn't you go by what you've seen on TV, Father Know Best? You acted your life out like that? Now, bud, you know what I've told you about putting your carburetor in the sink? Mother's angry. Please take it out, bud. Thank you. It's not reality. Let's get that carburetor out of the sink before I wrap it around your neck, bud. That's reality. But don't we act out the person, and we got the educated nincompoops without Jesus trying to explain to their children from Dr. Spook's book. Huh? Now, honey, you have destroyed this display rack here, and this woman here is rightfully angry at you, probably more than she should be. See, we can't go on destroying things like this. Of course, you've learned by it, haven't you, and the kids stand there? How many are hearing this? That's the way it was before you were saved, and a lot of that same nonsense follows you after you are saved by these people that come on with the same nonsense. Huh? Am I getting through to you people at all? Are you going through trials right now?
Oh, I get lots of them.
Well, do you want somebody to share them with you? I got my own. You take care of yours, sister. Don't we love to add to our brothers and sisters' trials? Well, it looks like you're having a hard time. Are your sins chasing you? Huh? What's after you now? We get all excited about somebody being in trouble. Don't we? What's that? This happened and that happened? Well, let me go on with this. But wait, I believe here in closing there is a final thing here, a third difficulty, which brought them, I believe, into even a worse misery than either of the other two. And it says the children of Israel had faint hearts. The worst thing you can have is a faintness of heart when you lose heart. And they no sooner saw the Egyptians than they began to cry out. And when they saw the Red Sea before them, they murmured against their deliverer. Now look at the mess you got us into. And a faint heart is the worst enemy you can ever have. When you faint in your heart. How many have ever fainted in their heart? Totally wiped out. They fainted. I mean, you know, you had the faith for this and you had the faith for that, but now you have faintness of heart and you could kind of go down, down on your knees. And your heart is faint. You haven't got the strength anymore to kind of go on. Huh? Maybe somebody will come and say, where's your faith? That fainted. Because while you are firm in your faith, because while your anchor is in the deep, in the rock, then you never have to fear the storm, do you? But when the hand of faith, let's say, is palsied, but when the eye of faith is dim and it goes, I believe, very hard with us, because while we have faith, Satan's spirit sort of bounce off our shield of faith, but when I faint, my shield goes down a little bit. When we have faith, the Red Sea doesn't look so terrible and so unconquerable. But when our faith leaves us and when our faith wanes, our life leaves and our life leaves our members and we're weak. And so the babe in Christ has very little faith because he is inexperienced. He has not tried the promise, and so he doesn't know its faithfulness. He hasn't used the arm of faith, so he has no muscle. And to those who haven't been through this, it may be uninteresting, this description I'm giving of this spiritual geography of going through. And so do others, they want sort of a road map. I think I have a road map. And I think the road map is right here. It's a wonderful word of God right here. And so close it up here today. Thanks to our God, the children of Israel had three helps. Don't you kind of see the mystery unraveling even in your own life? Glory. Hallelujah. Wherever we have three trials, we always have three promises. Wherever we have 40 difficulties, we always have 40 measures of grace. And wherever we have 10 million problems, we would have 10 million measures of mercy. And here we have the Israelites, and they had three difficulties, and they had three helps. And so providence did also furnish a relief. If providence brings on a difficulty, then providence also will bring on a relief. If God has led you into a trial, if God has led you into tribulation, if God has allowed things to happen in your life by providence, that providential door, God will always, it says, will make a way where there seemeth to be no way, and God will open up a door, and you have to be faithful to go through it. You have to be faithful to cross over once that it's emptied out. And so the first step of help they had was providence. Providence put the Red Sea there and piled the rocks on both sides. And I believe, well, the providence then represented by the fiery, cloudy pillars led them to its shore. The same providence helped them out. They had not come out undirected, and they won't leave undirected. God led them out, and God led them out to lead them in, and God took them through to lead them over. And so once they come out, they can't go back. See, once they went through the Red Sea, they can't get back. It closed over. But if they won't go over into Canaan land, they'll stand out there in the wilderness. Say amen, somebody. And so you cheer up, you owners of grace. Heirs to the throne of grace. What is a trial? When providence allows a trial for you, unerring wisdom will deliver you from it. Now, God, you're going to go through some horrendous trials. God has allowed that trial in your life. There's a reason for it. Say amen. Don't cut and run. Having done all, stand and wait on the Lord. Maybe in your particular situation in your life right now, God, you're tempted because this happened to you and that happened to you. You got the crags on both sides. You got the Red Sea ahead, and all your sins are coming after you. Don't try to crawl up the crags on the left or the right. Don't try to, make a boat so you can go through. Wait on the Lord, and wait, and you will see the glory of God. If God allowed that thing in your life by providence, He also, by providence, will make a way out where there seemeth to be no way. Are you going through that right now? Or maybe someone in here, maybe someone listening to the radio or listening to this tape, they say, God, there is no way out of this one, and I've been through a lot of them. There is no way, a few thousand or whatever. Do you believe that God can part the seas of difficulty for you? I mean, the same love which shall come in as your protector led you into this thing. Don't we know that we're covenant people? Didn't they know that they were covenant people? Does it all matter that much, folks? Just like Moses was interceding for them, don't we have one that intercedes for us, Jesus Christ? It says He intercedes forever. Doesn't He do that for us? Yesterday we started talking about baptisms and so on like that. That's a form of baptism, isn't it, when you get led through? Doesn't He overcome every difficulty? Hasn't He been faithful all this time? Doesn't the blood of Jesus Christ wash you from all sin? Isn't this the covenant promise? Isn't this a great, wonderful God that we serve? Oh, my God, and we lose track of God. Doesn't the Bible say in the original Greek, I will never leave you, no, never, 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 never. Three times it says never. Now, if God says it three times, He wants it to be very definitely in your minds. So God's design here today is that when He leads a Christian into great trials and the early part of his life, he takes them through. Paul says, in regard to what I just said there about baptism, Paul says they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, why are you talking about baptism? Because it's become such an issue. It's become such an issue in the Christian circles. All that baptism really is once that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now, as a first act of obedience, after you have knowingly received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as an outward show of an inward change, you say, yes, I'll go through a baptism. Because that baptism signifies a dedication to God, sort of a passing through the Red Sea type thing. It's an initiation into God's service. Have you heard this message today? Maybe you're on the radio and maybe you're listening and you aren't saved yet. Don't allow the devil to say tomorrow. Don't allow the devil to say tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow wait and see, huh? No, the Bible says now is the time for salvation. Don't depend on any kind of a purgatory. The Bible says after death comes heaven or hell. No resting spot in between. No place where you can escape death. The Bible says you must be born again, and that's the point of my message here. That once that you are born again, Jesus says, God says, I will never leave you. No, I will never leave you. Never forsake you. Never. I will take your sins, those sins that were following you up in between those craggy mountains, Red Sea in the front of you, I'll run them through. And every sin, it says, will be buried in the depths. Every sin in that baptism signifies that they've all been buried. Buried in baptism. Does that get you saved, baptism? No. What I've said here, Jesus Christ is the way. What I've said here is that the gospel isn't preached like it should be preached anymore. We're too busy off on little tangents and too busy off on little trips. There's only one way, and every sin that comes up against the Lord, every sin that comes up against you, if you'll just be faithful to trust in the Lord and pass over through the way of the wilderness, every sin will be buried, and it says God will put your sins, it says now in the Bible, take your sins and bury them in the deeps, never to be remembered anymore. In other words, when you go to heaven, there's not going to be a rerun movie on your sins. You know why? It's so boring. It's like X-rated movies. How many hearing this? How many know they got to be terribly boring? When I was in the world, they had these things. Okay, now they're terribly boring. Why? They're the same thing over and over and over. It's like seeing, they used to have this, in the movies, they had this guy that did the drunk part all the time. Well, after a while, it wasn't funny anymore. You've seen one, you've seen them all. God isn't interested. He says, he'll remember your sins no more. But when you get to heaven at the great white throne of judgment, God is going to say, where were you and how much love did you have to continue on in the place I put you in? Where were you? Oh, I was on vacation. I went to the tomb, check out. See, what was in the tomb 14 years in a row. I spent $150,000 going into the empty tomb over there. And you weren't there? No, I'm not there. I have risen. I have things for you to do. I'm hearing this gospel message today. You know what? People are receiving it all over. If a corporate bodies of gentlemen, knowledgeable men, sitting around the table by the power of God can receive the gospel message. What's wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel message? And a lot of these things you're seeing right now are going down. They're going down. They're tubes because they didn't have any. They're sand. They're built on sand. Prosperity teachings are built on sand. Hyper-faith teachings are built on sand. All of these, and I've been through it now, through every one that came in, the glorifying of demons, like I said on Friday night, reading all these books. I remember I first got saved, I scared myself out of my mind reading about all these demons and pigs in the parlor and all that. And I come to believe that the pigs in the parlor are just folks that don't know enough to get up out of the mire. That's all. But the God will take them and wash them out and clean them up. And even if they are that way, God looks at them. If once they receive Jesus Christ, God sees them as holy and perfect and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Because outside of that, nobody makes it to heaven. You can't make it on your righteousness. You can't make it on what you've done. You can't take an attaché case full of all your good works up there and say, man, I'd be nervous opening up that case if I had to show all my good works up there with all this glory up there. That's why the Bible says, when you see him, you will be like him. You'll be made like him. Why is that? Because you could not stand the glory of God in the state that you're in right now. You have to be made over. When you see him, you'll be made like him. See, so it's glory to glory. He will glorify you. You don't glorify yourself. Jesus glorifies you. You don't justify yourself. He has justified you. He has made you righteous. He also justifies you. And who he justifies, he also glorifies. He does the whole thing. See, salvation is of God. And the minute we try to pick it up and put a whole lot of bylaws on it and hang tags on it and so on like this and brand. And here's a nice little plan of salvation. Do you buy this one or do you buy that one? See, it's only Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb that did the whole thing. And it's such a tremendous message that people miss it. It's the foolishness of the gospel that must be preached that people miss. They think it's too simple. But I'll tell you right now, I have seen people in prisons. I have seen people in banks. I have seen people in corporate bodies. I have been to mayor's offices. I have been down on Skid Row. I have been everywhere. And I'll tell you one thing that I do know. The gospel, if it's preached and the Spirit of the Lord is on the gospel when you preach it, it works every time. It draws them in. And it says, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach, that if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou will be saved. God, I have to say this, God, before the foundation of the world was even founded, put in the elect's mouth the word, and he put it in their heart, and all they have to do, by the power of God, God gives them the power. God is the power unto salvation. God puts a repentance in them that they don't, I decided to repent. No, God puts his repentance in you just enough so that you can say yes to the Lord. So salvation is of God. He does the whole thing. Well, you mean I don't have to do anything? You have to say yes to the Lord. That's all you have to say. Isn't that a great message? Do you ever get tired of hearing it? I don't. I need it every day. You know why? See, because I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. How many in here know you're a sinner saved by grace? See, and outside of that, you aren't going to make it. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, or last night, I talked so much, I don't know where I talked at. But, you know, I remember saying it or reading it or something. But anyway, I said, you know, when you get to heaven, you get up there on this elevator and look up there and say, what's he doing up here? You're going to be like that wolf on the road runner going all the way down. Pip! Shows a little pile of dust down there. Why? See, those that think they're going to be first are going to be last. And those that think they're going to be last are going to be first. There's somebody out there laying right out in the gutter out there right now and probably has received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior with vomit all over his body. Doesn't look like a whole things have turned over in his life. Maybe he's one of the most influential men on Skid Row in leading souls to Christ. You know what I mean? And leading in, you know, people. And it says in the Bible, it says in the end, God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things of the lowly things of the world to confound the wise. And God is pulling people off of bar stools. God is pulling people out of whorehouses. God is pulling people. Well, just look at, we went to a certain thing one time. Remember, and this girl was brought up and saved, and that whole funeral home there was saved. You know what I mean? Wasn't that a glorious day? God, I'll never forget, here's a little baby laying there. And this little baby was a situation God used to bring a family together. They weren't even talking. And in a situation where there's, people involved that are really in the world, and this whole funeral home gets saved. Why is it? It's the power of the gospel unto salvation. And preachers, if you'll just preach it, God will bless it. Isn't that wonderful? And he'll use a sinner saved by grace, me, to do it. Why? Why does God use me? I remember once I said, God, why are you using me? Well, nobody else wants to go. Nobody wants to go. See, all it takes is a willing heart. That's why God got fishermen, and he got these people, and the lady with the mite, and all these people like that, and the whore at the well, the only ones that would go out. Couldn't trust the Pharisee. They were too built up in themselves. They had these long robes on and everything, you know. Just exactly two inches above the dust, see, so that they wouldn't mess them up. They never went over any hills of difficulty. I'll tell you why. Because their gowns in the hills of difficulty would drag a little bit. So they just walked on smooth, flat, do-nothing ground. See? And that's where Christianity is a lot of it right now. We need to encourage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that the church body is coming together. It says there's a new Jerusalem coming down. It's talking about a spiritual body. And all over, God is bringing in people of a like nature, a spiritual Jerusalem coming down. It's coming down and it's coming together. And I know right now, as God be my witness here, that this north side is a light and a beacon. It says in the Bible, it says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, here's Jesus that came out of the ghetto. Can any good thing come out of the ghetto, the north side? Yes. Jesus is on the north side. Yes, he is. It's very evident that he's on the RSA because there's no help down here. And yet, this ministry is the largest feeding ministry in the United States. Why? God get all the glory. And there's new things that are happening every day. Without money, without a whole lot of self-made works, without a whole lot of building up, and God gets all the glory. Why? God is on the move. Jesus Christ is moving down here. And it is a testimony and a witness that if we'll have him done all stand, when we got our backs up against the wall, so to speak, if you'll stand and you won't cut and run, hey, your enemies are going to get confused. You turn around and you're standing there like this, and your enemies, you turn around and look at your enemies, and all of a sudden, the sea starts to roll back on the right, on the left, and you start to march through. Don't you worry, they pull their chariots up and they kind of look down inside that big old hole down there, huh? Until somebody gives a real crazy scream and they all go screaming down into that pit and they're buried down there in that pit. God bless this audience here today. Thank you for the radio audience. Thank you for the souls that you're going to bring in as they confess in mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this great work that you've given us to do down here. Thank you for the people that are here. Thank you for their family. Thank you for this mission that you've allowed us to be partakers of. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 212. That was part two of Crossing Over. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes to each episode, and within those show notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Now join us next Friday for episode 213, Commitment. Ooh, that ought to be good. Have a great week. God bless you.
You got to move. Oh, when the Lord.